Welcome, everyone, to Who's Who in the Blind and Low Vision Community of Missouri with Beverly Cascaden and Chip Haley. Sponsored by the Blind and Low Vision Community of Missouri. Let's get to it with this week's interview. Hello and welcome, everyone, to another exciting edition of Who's Who in the Blind and Low Vision Community of Missouri. I'm Chip Haley.
And I'm Beverly Cascaden.
You know, Bev, I heard this about you. I couldn't believe it, that you can actually take a pool ball, stick it in your mouth, set it between your cheek and gum, make it look like you're chewing a big old wad of chaw, and then just spit that pool ball out. Now, is that true?
Well, I guess I gotta go try it.
I was not expecting that one. Not at all.
Oh, my gosh.
We always keep people guessing.
Yeah, we really do. You know, that's the fun thing about doing Who's Who in the Blind and Low Vision Community in Missouri, because, you know, we really like doing it, and we just really like having a lot of fun done. Bev is so good about just taking it just like a, you know, whatever, but she likes to, you know, being teased, and she always takes it so well. That's why I like having her as my partner here, so, because she just takes it just however.
And I never know what he's going to come up with either.
I bet.
Oh, ladies and gentlemen, it is my distinct pleasure to bring on at this time. Oh, just such a delightful lady. We're just so glad to be able to have her on with us today. She has graciously consented to take time out of her busy schedule to allow us to interview her today on Who's Who in the Blind and Low Vision Community of Missouri. Melissa Gibbs, welcome to Who's Who in the Blind and Low Vision Community of Missouri.
Yay.
Thank you so much.
Yeah. So let's start off talking about, who is Melissa Gibbs?
Oh, that's a good question. Well, James Rogers' mama.
There you go. Yeah.
And that is so funny because I don't know how to answer that question.
Yeah, well.
Yeah, I don't know how to answer that.
Yeah, well, you answered it just fine. You're James Rogers' mom, so that did it right there. So
yeah.
Thanks so much. Now, you also have a vision impairment, so let the good folks know the cause or result of your vision impairment.
I have retinal detachment in both eyes. They were not able to save anything in my right eye. In my left eye, they saved about 20%. And then about 3 years ago, I had another detachment, and I have advanced glaucoma. And so it's just steadily went downhill since then.
Okay. So do you have any light perception now?
Yes, sir. On some good days, like, I can make out certain things. And I know y'all guys probably both know, like, depending on what it's like outside, I can see trees sometimes. I can see the sidewalk and, you know, normal things. But then some days, you know, it's, you can't really make anything out. So
yeah. And so how was it for you being able to accept that vision loss?
At first I was in denial. Like, I thought, okay, this is not happening. And at first, you know, I didn't know that it was hereditary. And then when I found out, you know, of course, I was kind of angry because my mom had not warned me and stuff. And I had no idea. So it hit me super fast. And it was hard to adjust to. And it's an emotional roller coaster.
Right. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. Sure it is. Yeah. And is James he your only child, or do you have other children?
No, I actually have five. I have two boys and three girls.
Okay. And do any of them have a visual impairment?
Actually, yeah. My oldest daughter, Hannah, she has advanced glaucoma, detached retina, and she's about on the same page as me, maybe a little bit better, about 30%. And then my middle daughter, Harmony, she's had several retina surgeries, and she's kind of battling the same thing. And it's, you know, we just make regular appointments and make sure that everything goes well.
Yeah.
And then my daughter, Christina, she's the only one that's blessed so far where her retina hasn't been detached, but her glasses are so thick that eventually, you know, we know something will happen, but we're just praying that it doesn't.
Yeah. Okay. Thanks so much for sharing that with us. So how was it for you as a mom with a visual impairment, you know, with the kids, and you had James and the one daughter also having a visual impairment? How was it for you being able to raise a family having a visual impairment?
You know, I never really thought about myself as far as that part. I just did what I had to do as a mom. And we, when they were growing up and stuff, it was, you have a lot of guilt when you know something like that comes from you as a parent. And so, you know, I hated myself for years because I did this to my children. And eventually I would never give them up or do anything different where I didn't have them. So it was just something I had to learn to deal with. And so I kind of just focused on making sure that they were as good as possible. But they take care of me just as well. So
Yeah. Good. So where do you call home, Melissa?
Missouri now. I've been here for 17, fixing to be 18 years.
Yeah, okay.
But I'm actually from Louisiana.
Okay. Yeah, very good.
You're from where?
Louisiana.
Oh, Louisiana. I'm sorry to interrupt there.
I'm from Shreveport.
Oh.
So, you know, that explains it, because when we interviewed James and now listening to you, you do have that Louisiana twang, you know, so.
I have been practicing for 18 years getting rid of this accent. I came up here and I worked at one restaurant, and I had a lady ask me, she was like, are you from Russia?
Russia.
And I just kind of looked at her. I said, yes, ma'am, I am. And she looked at me, she said, I thought so. And I'm like, oh Lord. So since then, I've tried to get rid of it.
Yeah. Well, I got to tell you, I love that Louisiana twang. I really do. That's so nice. So, okay.
And the ladies love
James.
Love that. So he tickles me because he'll lay it on thick. Sometimes I'm like, I know what you're doing, boy.
I tell you what, Louisiana is such a pretty state. Past summer was actually back in March, so it was spring. My wife and I, along with our youngest son and his family, we took a trip down to Texas. Then we went over to Louisiana.
Okay.
We, you know.
What part of Texas did you go to?
It was, what was that lake called? That is not coming to me. Seemed like it started with a K, Keo or something. Lake is an Indian name. It was after an Indian name. A huge lake down there in Louisiana. But beautiful.
Oh, okay.
So, but we love to.
I swear nothing's coming to my brain right now.
Yeah.
And when we get off the phone, I'll be like, oh, I know what he's talking about.
Yeah, right. That's what happens. That's right. Yeah. But anyways, we all had a great time. Beautiful country down there. Actually took a boat
tour
of the lake, and I just had a wonderful time. So, but we're glad that you're here in Missouri, that you're with us, and that you are a member of BLVCM. You pretty much grew up there in Louisiana then?
Yes, sir. I lived in Arkansas for a long time, and then Alabama. I lived in California, Hawaii.
Oh, wow.
And so I've kind of been around, but Florida for years.
Uh-huh.
So, but Missouri to me, we actually just had this conversation the day before yesterday. Missouri is the prettiest state that I have ever been in, and I mean, I've been around everywhere,
right?
And it's a very natural state, and it's got just beauty everywhere.
Yeah.
And Louisiana is just hot, nasty, muggy. By the birds. Oh yeah.
Melissa,
my fiance says all the time, I think I could catch one of those, and I'm like, I bet you do.
So, So, Melissa, did you ever have the opportunity to work anywhere?
Yes, sir. A little bit when I was younger and stuff. I worked at a place called Major Custom Cable, which is, everything revolves around vision. So eventually, when it kept getting worse and worse, I just, accepted the fact I wouldn't really be able to do too much. But I'm kind of getting over that now, where like I have the determination. Like, you see people that are capable of working, and it makes you kind of jealous and stuff. And but they don't do it. And I have the drive in me to, keep going in life and succeeding in something. So.
All right. Very good. Well, I'll tell you, I'm going to push it over to Bev because I know she's always dying to be able to ask her questions. So, Bev, I'm pushing it over to you.
Yeah, I'm going to back up a little bit. And how old were you, Melissa, when you started having the detached retina?
I was 20.
20.
I, you know, my
Oh.
whole life, though, they put me in glasses and stuff, and I would always tell my mom, like, this is not helping. I can't see anything. And,
Oh.
she would say, oh, you're not wearing glasses at school. And then come to find out, well, it actually stems from Stickler syndrome. And which James is the one that found that out here recently. So I had no idea on that part either. So my father had it, my sister, my grandpa. It's, yeah.
Oh, okay. So it's on your dad's side of
Yes,
family too.
ma'am.
And probably, and I'm not sure where you were in Louisiana, but was the healthcare good there? Did you have good doctors, or were they just kind of guessing for you too?
I'm gonna say that, well, through the years they've advanced so much, but Louisiana is a poverty state.
Yeah.
And, the first retina specialist that I seen was actually at a LSU Medical Center, which is like a free hospital where they do, just they'll see anybody and they don't
Yeah.
have to have money or anything like that. And, I didn't know anything about retinas, didn't even know what a retina was. And so when I went in, of course, the treatment and stuff was not like it is here, because if you go to Barnes Retina, you're getting top-notch doctors. And, so it's definitely different, I'll say that. And they did a surgery on my right eye, the first one, and it was horrible. I mean, like, honestly, I looked like the Hunchback of Notre Dame. My face was all deformed and stuff because the swelling, and it took forever for it to go away. And with Barnes and stuff, of course, they're just more professional and, I'm going to say more educated.
Yeah. And boy, at that age, it's devastating. I remember when I was in my 20s too, I didn't want anybody to know I had a vision problem, but the red eyes kind of gave it away, but
Yes, ma'am,
oh, and
definitely.
getting through school, then even high school, junior high, did you struggle with PE? Oh, I did.
Well, to be honest, I was in everything you could think of,
Were you?
sports wise, and I always did really well. But once I got out of school and realized like the trauma and stuff like that that you can get from any impact with your retina and stuff, I just limit myself. Like, I'm doing good to walk through a kitchen without bumping my head. So, me and James, we always end up hitting our same spots. For some reason, I have on my right side of my forehead, I'm just, it's known that's where I'm going to hit myself. So, but I loved sports, though. Loved sports. I was in cheerleading, dance, softball, basketball.
Wow.
Oh,
Oh,
wow.
yeah.
Good for you.
You
And think what
bet.
all you could do. Chip is a big sports person, too.
Oh,
Yes.
really?
Yes.
What do you like?
Well, 'cause I'm a big St. Louis Cardinals fan and I'm a Kansas City
All
Chiefs
baseball.
fan. Oh, yeah. So, yeah, be your favorite team?
Cardinals, of course.
Yeah, well, all right.
Yeah, I was going to say.
I don't think there are any other teams, are there?
That's
bless your heart.
Yeah, that's
oh, wait a minute. You're from the South. Can I say bless your heart?
Yes.
I say it all the time.
Yeah,
I realized when I go ahead.
No, I was going to say, had you chosen another team, we would have had to end this interview right now. But since you picked the right team.
That's too funny.
Yeah. Well, like I said, we have fun. We have fun. I've got, you know, I'm from Central Illinois. So, you know, the state is divided, you know, Cub fans or Cardinal fans. So a good friend of mine, she's big.
Well, who do you prefer though?
Oh, definitely the Cardinals. It's in my blood. My dad, my grandpa, you know.
Yes. Yep.
You don't want to be disowned from the family. And
right.
My fiance's a huge sports fanatic. And you know, I'm not so much now. You know, I love Cardinals clothes.
Yeah.
And he's like, oh, you like baseball. You like this. And I'm like, uh-huh.
Oh, wow. That's great. I tell you, even though I struggled playing the sports in school, you know, but I wasn't legally blind yet, you know, either.
Ma'am.
And it wasn't till I was 36 that I lost my sight totally and had three little girls. I'm sorry?
Do you mind me asking what happened?
Well, I had Stevens-Johnson syndrome when I was 12 years old that affects the mucous membrane. So my tear ducts were destroyed. My top two layers of skin all blistered and peeled off and went into a coma and really blessed to live through it. So
I'm so sorry.
I've got a strong faith, you know, that God had a plan for me and it's to meet people like you, Melissa.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
And I'm
Chip.
Sorry you had to go through that. You know, stuff like that makes you stronger. And, you know, I used to say, okay, I don't like it when people say, you know, corny stuff like that. But when a person has to go through, and not even the physical parts of stuff or, you know, adjusting or anything like that, but the mental dealing with things and coping and learning how to live differently. It just makes you a better person sometimes, I think. It can make you bitter at the same time, but for the most part, I think it makes you just a very strong person.
Yeah. Well, you know, when it all happened with my vision, when I lost my second eye, I just thought, well, I can either sit here and have a pity party or get up and do something about it. And like I said, I had a 3-year-old, a 6-year-old, and a 10-year-old. I didn't have time, you know, to sit around.
Yep.
Mope, you know,
my
mission was to take care of those girls and my husband and the house and be a room mom and everything else. So
yeah,
you just got to get up and go do it.
I get so frustrated because when I get, you know, kind of down or whatever about it and stuff, and I talk to James, he'll be like, Mom, what's wrong? I'm like, nothing. He'll say, What's wrong with you? I'll be like, well, I mean, I can't see anything. Like, I'm miserable. He's like, really? You're telling me that? And it just, it reminds me, like, at least I had my vision as long as I did. You know, and I know that sounds ridiculous, but I thank God, like, I can still make out their faces and stuff. That was my main thing that I was ever scared was I was not going to be able to see my children's faces.
Yes.
And,
I totally get it.
When James was about 8, he was seeing barns. This would have been like his second or third time to see them. And he was crying and stuff. And I was talking to him. I said, what's wrong? And he was like, I'm not going to be able to see Christina's face. And that's his baby sister.
Yeah.
And
it
hit me like a ton of bricks because even though I had lost my sight completely in one eye, I still could see pretty good in my left eye. And the more I thought about it, I was like, that's horrible to hear your kids say. Like, you don't ever want to, you know, my baby. He's worried about being able to see his sister's face. And it just, oh God, it broke my heart.
Yeah.
And then I thought to myself, well, I'm going to be like that one day, and I'm not going to be able to see my grandchildren's face.
Yeah.
So I make sure I touch them a ton just to mess with them.
Yeah.
They'll be like sitting there. I'll be pinching their lips and stuff just to mess with them. You know, like I can't. I'm feeling around. I'll be like sticking my finger in their mouth and they're like that. That's okay. I took it a little far with them, but.
And do they call you grandma, or do you have granny, grammy?
Yeah, they all call me grandma. James wants them to call me, I think, mama. And I was like, you can't do that. That's too close to mama.
Uh-huh.
And he was like, no, it's so cute. And I'm like, okay. So if they do, that's fine. But if I'm grandma forever, I'm good with that too.
Yeah. Well, I didn't realize the different names that for grandparents when I was a kid. I thought everybody, you know, everybody's grandma was grandma. And this one friend, her grandma was Nana. And I always thought that was just her real name. And someone said, you know, oh, Doris Miller passed away. And I go, who? And they said, you know, Cindy's grandma. I go, I thought her name was Nana.
Oh, goodness. That's great. I'm not that she passed away, but you know what I'm saying. That's cute.
Yeah, so I became Nana. I was feeding my granddaughter bananas when she was here. I go, banana, Nana.
Oh. Mm-hmm.
When my daughter picked her up, I said, she's learned to say my name. It's either that or banana. I'm not sure which one.
Oh, goodness. My kids is, okay, so they're, their father's mother, she goes by Mimi. And I was like, why are you going by Mimi? And she's like, I am not old enough to be a grandmother yet. And I was like, okay. And then my mother, she goes by Gigi. And I think that one's cute.
I've heard that, Gigi for great grandma. You know, you can't go around saying, hey, great grandma.
Yeah.
But the kids are great, you know, and they learn, you know, to my grandson, he's got glaucoma. My ex-husband had congenital cataracts, so all three of my girls were born with cataracts, and now Jack.
They were born with them?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Oh,
yep.
I didn't know that was a thing.
Yeah. So Jack had to have glaucoma surgery, and he had to have a patch on his eye, you know, and he said, my daughter said at the dinner table, he said, now I know how grandma or Nana deals with this. So he comes over and takes my hand and leads me around. That's great. I can do it, but just letting him do it is special. So.
Yeah. Are their vision, did it, once they had surgery and stuff, were they able to repair everything?
Well, he still deals with the glaucoma, you know, and has to watch the pressure and everything. But I tell you what, that little boy, he's out playing soccer and basketball and sports, and he really tries hard. And I thought,
that's amazing.
Yeah. So out of five grandkids, three end up with a cataract, you know, and I always thought when I met my husband, I thought, well, there are worse things in life, you know, so we can overcome this too.
That's such a good outlook.
Well, a lot of it is our attitude and how we look at things, and I try to stay on the positive side. But you know what? After all these years of being blind, one day, not too long ago, I was frustrated too. And I stomped my foot and I said, I'm done. I am done being blind. I quit.
Don't you wish you really could? You just said, I'm done. Okay. I'm passing this along to something else. Next problem. I'll take it.
Yeah. All right. Do you have family members living close, since you were all over the place?
No, ma'am. I actually, between my kids and grandkids, that's what I have here in Missouri. And then I have a fiance now, and but my mother and my brother are down south in Louisiana, and that's pretty much all I have left now.
Oh, do they come up to see you, or do you get down there?
Yes, ma'am. They used to come up a lot, but my mom's health over the years has kind of stopped her. So, and recently, I've been able to go down there more and see her. And I'm actually going to surprise her in August and go down there and see her for her birthday.
Oh, that'd be nice.
Good.
That'd be nice.
Yeah.
Yeah. And how do you get there? Do you fly or train or bus?
My fiance will take me.
Oh, good for him. Good for him.
When we first met, I told him, I was like, you know, I can't drive. And you know, for years I did drive. Why I did it, you know, I really shouldn't have. But once I lost my driver's license and stuff, I was good. I was like, okay, I can't do it anymore. And when we met, you know, he admired James so much because of his determination, like y'all guys had said. And he didn't let his vision stop him. And I don't think at first that he knew that mine was quite as bad as it is. And then, but he's adjusted well to it also. You know, we've up and downs with it. And then, I mean, he takes me wherever I want to go. So,
Wow. That's great.
Yes,
that's
ma'am.
Great. You know, and that's one thing that I think a lot of people who are visually impaired, it's that transportation. It's one
yes.
of the biggest
yep.
issues.
It sure is.
Isn't it? It's because you hate having to depend on people.
Yes.
Yeah.
And then you don't want to, be a burden.
Yeah.
And then, but at the same time, you really don't have an option or a choice. And, you know, unfortunately around here, we don't have a bus system or anything like that. And you know, if I paid somebody for an Uber every time I needed to go somewhere, I'm gonna be hitchhiking. So and that's just, you know, the reality of it. You go somewhere almost every day, and depending on people sometimes is a very, very big hassle. So, and that, you know, that's one thing that I'll say, that it irritates me and gets me kind of down on myself, because I do have to depend on other people. And I don't really like that. I would rather depend on myself and know that I can do it, because I've done that my whole life.
Uh-huh.
And, you know, but adjusting to that, you know, the pride, you just got to suck it up and take it and do what you can do.
Yeah. Well, Melissa, I'd love to have you join us on the peer support call, because that's when we can share these stories with each other and be an uplift for each other. We need that. So,
yeah, ma'am.
Anytime.
Well, I'm not going to promise you. Sometimes I have my bad days.
No, oh, we all do.
I'm like
yeah.
the worst
yeah.
talker ever.
So. That's okay. That's what we're here for. I hope we stay in touch, too, because I have enjoyed really visiting with you the short time.
So, Melissa, how was it for you? Did you obtain training from, like, the Department of Rehabilitation Services for the Blind, or did you just kind of learn things on your own, like, you know, your
I
mobility, traveling with a cane? Yeah, okay. All right. Very
you know,
good.
I've never done that. I haven't done that yet. And it's funny that you asked that, because about 10 minutes before you called, I was on the phone with rehab.
Uh-huh.
And I told myself, like, you know how you have that turning point where you've realized, like, you have to do something different.
Sure.
Different living skills.
Yeah.
And so that was my, you know, my reach out to be able to go ahead and try to do something.
Yeah. You know,
but otherwise, I just adjusted.
Right. Yeah. So to be able to travel independently with a cane or a dog, I don't know what your position is on maybe learning how to read Braille or be able to use some of the today's technology, whether it's an iPhone or something else, to be able to manage your household or any of those kind of things. So not have done a lot of that and learned so much on your own, it sounds like you have really done quite well for yourself.
Well, if you ask James, he'll tell you I can break any phone.
Uh-huh.
I don't even have to touch it, really. And I'm very serious about that one. And I can really break some phones. But, you know, not having help as far as the outside world, anyways, you know, to learn how to move forward with like bills and stuff like that.
Right.
I'm a pretty good talker. So I learned just to explain to people, you know, I can't see what you're talking about. So you're just going to have to show me and, you know, keep showing me until I get it. And so it's been hard.
Yeah,
so,
I bet it has. Yeah.
We talked about the CNI dog the other day, and I told James, he was telling me how you do it and stuff, and you go to the city or, you know, wherever they send you to meet with your dog and see which one you want and which one you can, you know, bond with. And I said, oh, great. I'm going to be stuck in the middle of the woods.
Yeah,
and he was like, what? Yeah. I was like, I'm never coming back to where the singing place is.
Right.
And he was like, oh, my gosh.
I am
determined to, like we were saying a while ago, I don't want to be a burden on anybody,
and I don't
want my fiance to think he's got to take care of me.
Sure. So, Sure. Yeah, you bet. So then also, now that you did hear from RSB yesterday, then, or today, rather.
Yes, sir.
Yeah. So then, did you ever like connect with any blind organizations after you kind of started losing your sight? Was there any other blind people that you could maybe ask questions or like I just said, any?
No, sir, not really. I know back, you know, probably about 15 years ago, I had reached out to I believe it's the Sykeston office for rehab.
Yeah.
And one of their workers had came to meet with me and stuff. And I was still accepting what was going on at that point. And so I didn't, I don't know if you'll understand what I'm saying, but I had a lot of anger inside me about everything. And so I didn't want to do it. And I was just done, you know. And then I realized like I was being ignorant. It's just something I have to live with. So, I don't know if y'all guys are like this. I'm very determined to do stuff on my own for some reason.
Yeah. So then with the kids, when they're maybe younger and growing up at home, and as you've already mentioned, two of them were visually impaired. So did you have to then maybe turn to one of your sighted children to ask them, what is this? Is this what I'm looking for? Is this what I want? What does it say?
Yes, sir. All the time.
Yeah.
And then, you know, what's so funny is because my oldest daughter, Hannah, I would drive and I'd have to say, is there anything coming? And she would say, no, I don't think so. She's got advanced glaucoma. And then my daughter, Harmony, would be in the back seat saying, don't go, Mom. I'm like, okay.
Yeah.
So, or we'd be in the grocery store and I'd say, well, is this soup? And she'd be like, nope, that's ravioli.
But
they helped me a lot.
Yeah. Okay. I think I can answer this question, but I'm going to let you answer it. I'll ask it, but I want you to answer it. So, Melissa, would you consider yourself to be more of an introvert or a more of just a more of an outgoing kind of person?
Outgoing, definitely.
Yeah. I can tell that too. I would have to agree. Yeah. So,
I guess I kind of look at myself like I'm not because I've changed so much through the years, but I definitely. I see life as you only get one chance.
Yeah.
And if you don't take advantage of what you have, no matter if it's the best or it's not the best, and you don't live, you're going to miss out for nothing. And so I don't want anything to stop me.
Yeah.
And whether it's my health, my vision, you know, living situations or, you know, my mental state, financially, anything. Like, I think that there's always something that you can do to try to help yourself. And it, the more that I can experience and see, but maybe not visually, but see and do in life and enjoy, it means the world to me, to be
honest.
A lot of people take that for granted.
So to follow up with that, how would you define yourself? I know what you just said about being more of an outgoing type of person and everything then that you just mentioned. How would you like to be remembered, or what would you like your legacy to be? How would you define yourself?
To be honest with you, I don't think I could define myself, but when I am not here anymore and my kids look back and they remember me, I just want, I want to be known that I didn't stop and I always tried no matter what. And I am, one thing that I go by is you have to accept things in life that you do wrong. And if you don't accept it and try to better it, or acknowledgement means a lot to me. And anything that I can make better for my kids or anybody possibly. I actually have a friend that has cancer right now, and I had lost touch with her for a while. And I told myself, like, it, you know, it's nothing to contact her and, you know, just ask her how her day is going. And I hope that people can remember that I loved everybody, honestly.
So,
I know that kind of sounds corny.
No, I'm touched. I'm very touched.
I'm going to be real nosy here, Melissa. So tell us, how did you and your boyfriend meet?
Oh, goodness gracious.
I hear a story coming.
We had a mutual friend, and him and I both had been in relationships before that lasted about the same period, about 26 years, and same situation, bad parties on the other side. And so when this friend of ours had found out about it, she told him, I think you should meet her. And he was like, oh no, I don't want a relationship. And, you know, he said he got to looking at me on Facebook and stuff. And then he messaged me, and, we talked probably 2 or 3 times, and then we met, and we have been together ever since.
All right. Very nice. Yeah, good.
And I thought I would never, ever be with anybody else. Like, I thought I was done. Like, But
yeah,
it was meant to be, I guess.
Okay. Very good. Well, we don't have a whole lot of time left, so I'm going to push it back over to Bev. Bev, I think we may have about 10 minutes or so. So just go right ahead. Take over.
Okay, I'm going to ask Melissa one of the questions I ask everybody. And I don't know where you have time, but do you have any hobbies?
You know, I really don't. I don't. I do have a lot of things that I enjoy. You know, when you had asked me earlier, who am I? I'm learning who I am. And I know that I enjoy doing a lot of outdoor stuff. That's one thing, you know, James also enjoys. And I lucked out because, you know, my fiance, he does also. So the more I'm outside, the better. Mm-hmm. And I, yeah, other than that, like, I really don't have too many hobbies.
Do you garden or?
I wish, but I don't have a green thumb. I kill everything I come in contact with. It's a big joke through my whole family. So my mom tells me sometimes, she'll be like, don't touch my plants. And I'm like, I didn't even, don't look at it, Melissa. And I'm like, whatever. So, but I actually, I do enjoy it, though.
You know, one thing I really started, well, I've always been a reader, but I love reading the books. And since we can get audiobooks so easily, you know, I do a lot of reading.
Yes,
but you know, it's great with the audio books, but what I've noticed though is my spelling isn't as good as it used to be when I could see the words in print.
Yes,
you know,
ma'am.
So I hate that, but it's part of going through the vision loss and even
yes,
with
ma'am.
Braille, you know, then you got the contractions and so.
Do you both know Braille?
Yes.
Yeah. And how old were you, Chip, when you started with the Braille training?
Right around 28 years old.
James had told me that the older you are, the harder it is.
It is.
To learn
it is. That's
things.
True. Yep.
Yeah.
That's true. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. My middle daughter, she was, like I said, 6 years old, and she was learning to read print the same time I was learning to read Braille. So I always said, we learned to read together.
That's amazing, though.
But I use it a lot. And, you know, I live alone. So, you know, that's, I depend on the Braille.
I wish I could do that. I really do. My daughter Harmony got James Uno cards for Christmas.
Oh, yeah.
And they were Braille.
Oh,
and,
cool.
You know, I would have never even known they made stuff like that. But that, it was so heartfelt that she did that for him. And I thought, oh, wow. So,
yeah.
I couldn't believe that. But not that any of us could read Braille but James, so he'd kick her butt. But.
Well, I would say your kids are very blessed to have you as their
yes,
mama.
Yeah,
I guess
yeah.
It's mama, right?
I'm blessed to have them, that's for sure.
Oh.
If I didn't have them, I, like I said, I wouldn't know who I was at all. And that's horrible to say, because when you ask who I am, that's all I know myself is their mom.
Uh-huh.
So, which is a good thing, because
yeah.
They're amazing kids. I didn't do anything right, you know, to make them the way they are. They're all themselves, and they did it, you know, themselves. They're amazing people. All
oh, look at that, Chip. She's humble,
yeah.
Too.
Yes, yeah.
Well, I tell you what, Melissa, when before I had kids and my husband and I were selling our first house, this couple came to look at the house, and they had a little one with them, and the little boy said, I know these people. This is where Dudley lives, which was our dog.
Oh, goodness.
So my identity was Dudley's mom.
Oh, that's crazy. I don't know what I would have said. I'd have been like, huh. Okay.
So we do. We
what
lose
kind of
our identity. He was a miniature long-haired dachshund.
And oh, okay. That's
the biggest
okay.
Chicken in the world, you know. But, but yeah, we, you know, and being the mom of these kids just is one of the best things in the world, I think. And I can
mm-hmm.
hear it through you, too. Yes.
Yes.
And,
yes.
And
yeah,
now the grandchildren. Yeah. Yeah. So.
And grandchildren are even better. And it's not because you get to give them back or anything. Sometimes I wish I didn't have to give them back. But they're just, I don't know. My mom always told me if you could skip kids and go straight to grandkids, it'd be great. And I get it. I totally get it. So.
Yeah, yeah. And I don't know if I'd want to raise kids now. You know, it's a lot different than when we were younger. Well, I hate to say
it
how
is.
Many years younger.
The whole world's so different now.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
it is, yeah.
If I could take one thing out of it, and nobody was going to agree with me on this one, but social media. I would take, you know, if you could
yeah.
just have social media for, you know, short periods of time, and you could still enjoy families, and people didn't walk around with phones glued to their hands,
yep.
and stuff like that. And it took
yep.
me a minute to realize
yep.
how bad it was.
Yep.
And my girls told me one time, they said, Mom, I was recording birthday parties, and they were like, put your phone down, enjoy the birthday party. And
uh-huh.
I got to thinking about it. I was missing it because I was recording something that I'm probably never even going to look at again.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, social media is just, it's really done a wonder on us. Oh, I wish I could take that out.
Yeah. Yeah. I even mentioned to someone the other day that handwriting, writing letters, you know, I'd go out to the mailbox and my neighbor would be out there. Yeah. You know, she was writing a letter to a friend of hers. And that's another dying art that we have.
Yeah, that's true.
Isn't it?
Yeah.
You know, like, I don't even think that they don't hold me to this one. I'm not sure if it's right. But I don't think that they teach cursive anymore. And
I've
one
heard
thing that I grew up with, my grandfather, he taught me calligraphy by the time I was 10. And this man had penmanship that was just beautiful.
Yeah.
And to me, if you look at people's penmanship now, there's nothing to
it.
Like,
right.
I mean, they can text. And I can't understand it. And you're not going to understand what I text you because they do not understand my accent at all. But... So, but to see somebody write a beautiful letter and just, you know, the era where you had to wait for something to come in the mail and, you know, it wasn't 2 seconds. Let me push this button. It was a different feel.
Yes. Yeah. And I try to look at the positive end of that too, where, you know, do you remember even making a long distance phone call? Oh my gosh, we had to wait till Sunday night when the rates were the cheapest. You know?
Yes, ma'am. Yeah. I can remember the first phone bill my mom got when my first boyfriend lived in Arkansas, right across the state line. So it was long distance. We were only 5 miles away from each other, and we called each other every day. And she was like, oh no. So I definitely remember that.
Yeah. Oh. Well, Chip, I think I've probably taken up a lot of this closing out time, so you go ahead.
All right. Thanks, Bev. Melissa, thank you so much for being our special guest here today on Who's Who in the Blind and Low Vision Community of Missouri. You've just been an absolute delight to interview. We've really appreciated it, so thank you so much.
Yeah. Thank you for having me, and I'm sorry if I yapped through the whole thing.
No
we
problem.
Love it.
My
fiance calls me Yapper Doodle, so I've adjusted to it and accepted that I do have a problem. But James
we'll be talking to
his mama, so he has the same thing.
We'll talk again, Melissa.
All right, thank y'all. It was nice speaking with y'all, and hopefully I'll get to meet y'all guys soon.
Yeah. Well, ladies and gentlemen, you know somebody that you would like for Bev and I to interview here on Who's Who in the Blind and Low Vision Community of Missouri, you can have them give me a call, Chip Haley, at 417-540-9703.
Or Beverly Cascaden at, let's see, what's my number? 636-561-6947.
All right. Thank you, Bev. Thank you again, Melissa. Ladies and gentlemen, we'll catch
you
right back here next time on Who's Who in the Blind and Low Vision Community of Missouri. Bye-bye for now.
Bye. Y'all guys have a good day.
You too, Melissa. Thanks.